and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on WGRN 94.1. This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news from WGRN 94.1. And we have Travis Irvine with us. And as he tells me, or his grandmother used to tell him, no relation to the city in California. Welcome, Travis.
Hey there, Bob. Always good to be with you. Happy post-election.
Is it post-election yet, or is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't seem
to be over. Yeah, it seems to be right in your wheelhouse. So it's nice to talk to you right when we're getting hit with all this again. But I'm pretty sure I first met you at a documentary screening about the Diebold voting machines way back in 2004, 2005, 2006, one of those, over at the Gateway Cinema Center. That was the first time I met you. And it is very interesting. You've been talking about this stuff for years. And now...
And you've been out making movies for years afterwards.
Absolutely. And now here we are where Trump, the team Trump, is trying to steal your stuff. So that's why it's like, I got to see... Got to talk to Bob and see, you know, how much credence a lot of this election fraud stuff has. I mean, obviously we know it exists, but the question is Team Trump using your work correctly, or are they using it to their own advantage?
Okay, we can talk a little about that, but first I want to let the listeners know that Travis Irvine is not only a filmmaker and, again, Rocky Raccoon, or I don't know what the raccoon's name was, but you have a whole sequence there of raccoon movies, do you not?
Absolutely. If you want to check out our first killer raccoon movie, it's available from Troma Entertainment. It's called Coons, Night of the Bandits of the Night. Very innocent little college movie that has since turned into a cult favorite through Troma's fan base. And we just finished our sequel, Killer Raccoons 2, Dark Christmas in the Dark, which is available everywhere now on streaming services, wherever streaming services are streaming. And so if you want a fun social commentary, killer raccoon, wacky comedy, either of those are fantastic. And of course, we just finished a short documentary as well, a little more serious subject. It's called How America Killed My Mother. It is the plight of diabetics and the healthcare system, gambling addicts and casinos and all the other things that America does to our poor and unfortunate in this country. So that is available at howamericakilledmymother.com. So all those movies can help take your mind off of the election and whatever else is bothering you these days. That's what we're trying to do. Shine a light on something while having some fun doing it.
And you also do politics. Like myself, you've run for governor of Ohio on a third party ticket. Again, libertarian, as I recall.
That is correct. I don't know if I got Bob Fitrakis' numbers, but we sure did try. And of course, I always let everyone know, every time I come on the show, I got to remind everyone that I have probably voted for Bob Fitrakis more than any other human being on the planet. Anytime you're on my ballot, I check your name. So.
And even though he's a comedian, he's being serious.
I'm being serious.
He has supported me over the years. And how's the comedy gigs going?
Well, there are no more comedy gigs. It's all this. It's all Zooms. It's all virtual performances. There are a lot of places trying to do the outdoor shows. I think over the summer, you know, when we weren't spiking as much with the COVID restrictions and the lockdown orders, there were a lot of great outdoor comedy shows. The folks down at Go Bananas in Cincinnati are still doing shows. The folks at Hilarities in Cleveland, I think, have started to do indoor shows again. But, you know, it's a slow roll. A lot of comedians we don't have much of an outlet to be funny. So we're just making jokes to our pets and our roommates and our family members. And now and then we get to jump on the computer and make them for folks like you.
Well, humor's in a bizarre state because stuff that seems like should be outrageously funny with Trump just kind of has that downer feel of neo-fascism to it.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I went to college in the Bush-Cheney years, and obviously you were predominant in Ohio politics during that time. You know, I do remember going to Iraq war protests and things like that, and there was still an element of optimism and hope. You know, maybe we were misguided in that way, but yeah, everything with Trump, it's getting less and less funny and more scary. And, you know, he still, as of today, this week, his administration and his campaign team has announced that they are not accepting the unofficial results of the election. Now, of course, everything's unofficial until everything's certified and they're allowed to challenge it as much as they want. But most of the math says that Trump lost. Unless, of course, they found, you know, hundreds of thousands of ballots, and or they're trying to negate hundreds of thousands of ballots. It's quite a mixed riddle.
And you speak also as a journalist. You've been writing for various publications, including mine, the Columbus Free Press, freepress.org, columbusfreepress.com. What's the big story with this election in 2020? Is it the fact that Trump isn't conceding? Is it the fact that Rudy Giuliani is out there at 30,000 a day saying that essentially what people like me have been saying for 20 years? You know, I mean, I have my position is clear as a journalist. And if you go to the American Political Science Association, which is the foremost professional organization of political scientists in the U.S., I wrote a paper there 3 years ago simply entitled "Are American Elections Legitimate?" And I argued, essentially, we don't know because they're non-transparent. So a variety of that notion of these private companies, vendors, election voting machine companies, you know, owning their own source code and keeping it secret, I think is coming back to bite us now in the form of Trump and Giuliani. Because what they're saying is what a lot of us in the reform movement have said for a long time, is that, you know, the people should own their own software and no private companies should secretly do the coding for the tabulators and the voting machines.
Right. Well, and to play devil's advocate a little bit on that point, I mean, if it was more transparent or if the coding was public, would that make it more susceptible to hackers? Because I know that's always kind of the argument, and that's why they try to keep it secret. But then to your point, if it's secret and it's only maintained by one company and the people who control that company, well, then it's equally not safe because they can change it or they can fiddle with it and then no one knows.
So well, if the source code is open and you're using digital scanners, tabulators, and you're hand marking it, I mean, all the code is there is to prime plus one is the count.
Right.
You don't really want your voting machine subtracting people's vote. Somebody votes, you don't really need, you know, the vote might not be cast for anyone, but surely if you vote, you don't take a vote away from somebody.
Right.
So a lot of, you know, we have 2.3 million lines of code in Franklin County, which we found out in 2004 is, why do you have 2,000 or 2.3 million lines of code unless you're looking to hide something?
Right.
Like you really need that much code. You know, a lot of these computer coders will say, look, you know, 2,500 lines, you know, you can do this really easy. And it's not really a secret, right? It's, you know, prime plus one. All you're right. doing is going, you know, one plus one equals three.
Right. Right. And the paper trail obviously helps as well. So most of these machines, I know, you know, Frank LaRose, our Secretary of State there in Ohio, has made a point of saying none of the machines are linked to any kind of internet, you know, that, that these things are only hackable if, you know, there's some type of internet link. But the danger here is that the people who built the codes, the people who built the machines, are the ones who are essentially hijacking any type of vote tally.
Well, they would have the keys to the kingdom. And right. a lot of times they'll say, well, it's not on the internet, but they're using the internet to transmit the data, particularly the tabulation numbers. And a lot of times, even if it's air-gapped, you don't put it from this machine, you know, from the county to the state, but you take it, put it on a thumb drive, then walk over. It's still being transmitted into the machine and it's still being carried forward to the Secretary of State's office. And you still got problems with malware, right? There's still ways to manufacture ahead of time or to, in fact, manipulate totals.
Right.
And in this election, a lot of what we talked about over the years, you know, Diebold, which you talked about there.
Right.
And again, there were, I think there was a very famous documentary, Stealing America, Vote by Vote, that dealt a lot with Diebold in that situation. But again, there was a company that went down for organized fraud. So, I mean, you would think that you could get some humor out of it, but what you ended up with is what looked like a rigged election in 2004. And nothing has changed since then. So this is why Giuliani, this is why Trump can bring these issues forward, because we've never really improved the system.
Right, and that's what I think is so fascinating about this. It's like you said, you've been researching this for a long time. More often than not, these methods used to, you know, if it has indeed been used, most of the time the people hijacking the election are the bad guys. I think the interesting thing about this situation is that most people, myself included, were very sick of Trump. I want him to lose. I want him to actually lose. I am still blown away by the fact that 71 million plus people did vote for him willingly. I think the interesting situation we're in here is that it's almost like the good guys are trying to use what the bad guys have been using in this election fraud world. And now the bad guys, which I assume are Trump, are trying to call foul. So it's a very strange situation we find ourselves in. And that I want Trump to lose, but I want him to lose fairly.
Well, and again, they're underscoring a problem. I guess the positive that comes out of this is you're going to have transparency. I mean, you could hand mark ballots. I did in Franklin County, right? They were pushing you towards the mystical, you know, touchscreen. Like
right.
The mystery tour, and you're listening to 94.1 WGRN, the Green Renaissance, and I'm Bob Fitrakis, host of The Other Side of the News, and on the other side of the call is Travis Irvine, and we're talking a little about transparency in election. Well, you belong to a third party. I have in the past as well. But historically, it looks like more than once they've either taken votes from third parties or dumped extra votes into third parties. So, I mean, a lot of times the third party numbers, you know, you'll find this very large. I remember in 2000, the Socialist Party suddenly got a ton of votes in places like Florida and in certain areas only. And they'd be going, we don't think it really happened. But
I
remember Jews for Buchanan when he was running on the Reform Party.
Yes, of course. Very popular group.
And to Buchanan's credit, he came out and said, those aren't my votes.
Right.
I'm not taking West Palm Beach.
Right. In fact, I think he was running with the Reform Party in 2000, and he got in trouble for his typical anti-Semitic sounding rhetoric. So I don't see why anybody in West Palm would be like, that's my candidate. So, yeah, it has been a fascinating thing for years and years now. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, it is like you said, maybe this is a blessing in disguise, you know, that the Trump's team is putting this all out there, because it is going to force at least people, you know, the first thing I think of what Republicans would try to do is try to continue to limit the vote. You know, they're going to go for more voter ID laws, things like that.
They're going to mistake voter fraud, which is almost non-existent, for election fraud.
Exactly. So hopefully they get it right. And then after the recounts are done, Trump still loses. I think that's the place we want to be at. That's like the perfect storm. Trump still loses, but now we do have more eyeballs on election transparency. But
a lot of it appears to really be about tactics, right? If you can call the legitimacy of the election into question, and a lot of these states were very close, then you can hold up the certification of the electors, and then they don't count, and then it gets thrown into the House of Representatives or the state legislature when it's out, you know, not giving largest welfare checks in history to the nuclear industry and taking bribes. It will be with HB6. It'll be busy out there hand-picking an elector slate that has nothing to do with the actual popular vote.
That is very, very true. And we almost got a glimpse of that, even with the nomination of Joe Biden, you know, on the Democrat side. I know I still have plenty of progressive friends and Bernie Sanders supporters friends who, you know, they kind of sucked it up and held their nose and voted for Biden this year. But at the end of the day, the primary process was all thrown out of whack by COVID.
It looks like they ripped Bernie off in 2016 and in 2020.
Absolutely.
If you're looking at funny machines and data and the use of computers, and Donna Brazile in her book, and I've written about it as well, Seth Rich. You know, I mean, there's many people that wonder whether that was some sort of random, killing, or whether this man heavily tied up with data.
Absolutely. With the DNC.
The DNC suddenly dies.
Right. And of course, the big smoking gun literally there is the fact that he did work for the DNC. The WikiLeaks, of course, had put out multiple times rewards leading to the information of who killed Seth Rich. Yeah, there's definitely several avenues that that explore that world of just data and who did what. And, you know, the other thing of the DNC data that I always heard is that it was too much to have been downloaded by hackers. It was terabyte. It was gigabytes or terabytes of data, and you really needed to put it on a physical drive, the same way Snowden.
And an inside job, someone who worked there, like Seth Rich.
Exactly. But hopefully people don't think we're sounding too much like Sean Hannity now. We just want transparency here, people.
Well, we sound a lot like Donna Brazile, right? I mean, she raised the issue in her book. And again, the software, I was out in California meeting with the Bernie people and pretty much predicting to them exactly what was going to happen. I mean, the problem is everyone supposedly bought in, the Clinton forces, Sanders forces, and they gave all that data they were out collecting door to door to the DNC. And then the DNC appears to have used it in a partisan way to make sure Clinton got the nomination and not Bernie.
That's fascinating stuff. And what tactics did they bring from 2016 to screw him out of the nomination in 2020? Because it almost seemed like it was a consolidation at the top by candidates.
Joe Biden. And it started in Iowa, right? When
With the the app
software.
Oh, Lord, that's right. Bad. That was fascinating because once everything was counted, it did look like Bernie Sanders had won. And that's what they were trying to stop, was that headline of Bernie Sanders winning Iowa. And so that did derail him a bit. And then obviously by South Carolina, after Joe Biden, who had been, in fourth or fifth place consistently, he gets one state, and all of a sudden everyone else drops out and rallies around him. But they leave in Elizabeth Warren so she can keep siphoning off votes from Bernie. So, yeah, it almost was more legal, but definitely more back room, very screwball. I just don't know how the good guys always seem to get stuck in this position, whether it's Democrats or Republicans.
Well, again, in 2004, they kind of brought Kerry out of nowhere. Did the same thing with him.
That's right. Well, Howard Dean didn't help himself by screaming at a crowd of innocent children or whatever he did.
But here's the scream heard around the world. With Howard Dean is that he thought he had an ambient mic on. He didn't know there was an individual mic that was picking him up only. I mean, he's yelling loud because there's all this excitement and noise. So instead of, this kind of him trying to scream over a ton of noise, they had another mic on him that was just him only, man, isolating on him.
Right.
And as a comedian, a man who's been around a mic and probably seen some screamers. So if you thought you there's a ton of noise and you got this ambient mic and you're trying to get through, and you got this mic that's just magnifying you. You can imagine how you would sound.
Absolutely. I've done it way too many times.
Yeah, and you'd be screaming HB6 and people would be going, what's wrong with him? And why does he keep bringing up HB6?
Well, hey, that's a very good segue from national politics to state politics. Absolutely. You and I and a very good coalition, honestly, a multi-partisan coalition, Green Party people, Libertarian Party, Democrats, Republicans. We're all standing up against the absolutely catastrophic, devastating House Bill 6, the nuclear energy bailout bill passed in very corrupt fashion in 2019. The bricks were laid in 2018. For anyone who doesn't know, $60 million from energy companies, including First Energy and a couple of others here in Ohio. They basically funneled $60 million into lobbyists as well as primary races, all organized by the eventual Speaker of the House, Larry Householder, to get a $1.5 billion bailout to these nuclear companies passed. And they did it by... It was all very corrupt. It's been revealed, it was a very questionable bill in the first place, but now we know, thanks to the FBI investigation that's been revealed, five men have been charged, including former Speaker of the House Householder, former Ohio Republican Party Chairman Matt Borges, and three other shady GOP operatives. And it's all essentially been exposed, but at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that the state legislature, which was all, everyone was bribed, and it barely passed. I believe it only passed by one vote. Right now, the state legislature can't seem to find time to repeal this crooked bill that we now know is very corrupt and was completely paid for. It's the most historic bribery pay-to-play scandal in Ohio's history. The Ohio state legislature has found time to let falconers in Ohio use owls for hunting. They just named a new state fish fossil. They're getting important stuff done. And yet, Bob, at the same time, they can't seem to repeal HB6 on its face or in any capacity.
But did they pass a bill allowing Householder to shoot a television? Or is that just everyone knows that's legal?
He's just allowed to do that at any time. In fact, this week, the most audacious Householder thing he did was not only did he win re-election, obviously, because he was only running against a handful of write-in candidates, but he still has his seat. And today he actually voted against a measure. He voted to table something that would have been a repeal of his bill HB6. So it's fascinating. He's been criminally charged. He's indicted, but he's still been reelected. He's still a sitting House member, and he can still cast votes to protect the bill he illegally got passed. It's really just crazy stuff that you can't make up. But I will say, you know, I'm out here on the road out west, and you know, we're not Wisconsin, Michigan, or Pennsylvania anymore.
No, where are you calling from?
I'm calling you from our good mutual friend Ben Kissel's house. I believe he wants to have you on his podcast, Abraham Lincoln's Top Hat, here in the coming week.
Oh, yeah. I love to do it. Always enjoyed Ben's show.
Absolutely.
You did get me on Roger Stone a couple times.
Absolutely. And now we're banned from the airwaves entirely.
Why is that? I mean, Stone was the only guy who seemed to be open to the election frauds. It's like, yeah, of course they did.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, and I have no doubt that Roger's still probably behind the scenes now that he's, you know, he's gotten his presidential pardon and he's got a little more freedom. I do absolutely think, I don't even wonder anymore. I absolutely think that Roger's probably pulling some strings behind the scenes here. I remember you were nice enough to sign your book for him, too. We sent that off to him in Florida.
Uh-huh.
So, but luckily, Ben Kissel is a little more rational than Roger. So that's where I'm calling you from. And, you know, it is interesting now to talk to my friends out here west and acknowledge what you and I probably both already know, that due to all the gerrymandering, due to any election fraud behind the scenes, because the Republicans have a supermajority in the legislature and, you know, the majority of the counties in Ohio and their boards of elections. And that is, Ohio's a red state. We are no longer a swing state. So I really hope you and I and all the other good people here working to fight HB6, that we can fight overall corruption and supermajorities in state legislatures, not just in Ohio, but everywhere. I mean, once a party, any political party, Democrat or Republican, has too much power, you start to see things like HB6 go through. And I really think we got to just keep standing up to these monsters within the Ohio Republican Party in the State House.
And you can do that, and this is the last word, I appreciate your time, with a repeal HB6 mask. Thanks for sending them over to the House. We've worn them. I should have worn it today. But again, great mask, great signs, repeal HB6.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob. And if you go to Ohio Citizen Action, you can find out even more and how you can help fight this crooked bill and fight corruption in Ohio State House.
All right. And hopefully you'll arrange it and be able to talk to Ben this week.
Absolutely. We'll make it happen.
Thanks. Peace. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.